Welcome, welcome, welcome. Glad to have each and every one of you here this morning. Welcome to Wheatland Baptist Church, McPherson, America. Okay, let's open the word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your blessings, Lord, abundantly. And Father, we're just thankful for the privileges you give us as we go through this life, Lord, just to have joy. Joy in Christian fellowship, and Lord, just join with each other. And Lord, I pray now that you'll open our scriptures to our hearts this morning. As we study this book of Genesis about creation, open our hearts, Lord, and help us all to learn together. Lord, I've learned things already just starting here just last week. And Father, so I'm learning right along with everybody else. And I'm thankful for the input that others put into this to kind of help fill in the cracks that I leave. And I'm just so thankful for that. So we just pray now the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. I pray that he will minister to us as we go through this and help me, Lord, to be able to tell the truth. And Lord, just to get things rightly divided and trying to divide the word of truth accurately. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we just got started and we got through verse 1 last week. And on day one, we took a look at what God did in his creation. And in day one, we found that God had created water and light. And I learned last week that, and actually, and the scripture verifies it out, that it was brought up that in verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But when he talks about the dry land, he makes the dry land to appear, which means that it was there, but it was unable to be seen. And so anyway, so apparently when God originally created, we have this mass of water, and apparently the earth was inside at that time, unable to be seen. And so it just was covered up by the water. And then we found out that God, he created light, water and light. And then in verses 6 and 7 and 8, we understood that God created a firmament, and he divided the waters above and below the firmament. The firmament being the space, you know, the space. And we talked about, like the different heavens. And he divided the heavens, water below, water above. We talked about the three heavens last week, that there's three actual heavens. Heaven number one is where the clouds are. Heavens number two is where the satellites, planets, stars are. And the third heaven is where God resides. I mean, we looked up a verse that talks about that. Paul was telling us about that. And so we found out that God created the firmament. He divided the waters above and below the firmament. And God named the firmament heaven. And then, so God created the firmament, divided the waters above and below the firmament. And so now we are ready to begin in verse 9. And I'd like to read verses 9 through 13. And so, who would read verses 9 through 13 for us? John?
And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering to the gather of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and fruit tree yielding fruit under his kind, after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so.
Okay, go through 13, John.
Oh, I didn't read 12, did I? And the earth brought forth grass and herb-yielding seed after his kind, and tree-yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good in the evening and the morning for the third day.
Okay, thank you, John. Okay, so in verse 9, God, I got my notes here, he created the dry land, and I think that's wrong. I was wrong when I've learned. And in other words, the dry land, God made the water to the dry land to appear. So apparently it was below the water. It says it caused it to appear. Notice that the waters were gathered together into one place. So we assume then that the dry land was also had to be in one place. You can't have it any other way. So creationists believe at this time there was only one land mass and the water encircled it. You know, and that's the way it was originally. It has to be. You know, the earth was in one spot and the water surrounded it. Just one spot. Now, the flood changed all this, as we now have many bodies of water encircled by dry land, and creationists believe that it was that way until the flood. But when the flood, we're going to talk about the flood at great length, but that was a major, major catastrophe. I mean, when the waters underneath were broken up and the water from above comes down for the flood, and a massive, massive destruction on the earth. Verse 10, God named the dry land earth, and he called the waters seas. And also God created plant life. In verse 12, notice the phrase, after his kind and whose seed is in itself. Take big note of that, folks. That is a key, key issue. Seed within itself, okay? After his kind. And God's going to repeat that in other verses. It's important, all right? Hang on to that thought. And we're going to be discussing this at great length later. And so in verse 13, it says the evening and the morning were the third day. So what did God do on the third day? He made the dry land to appear. He gathered the waters and the sea together, and he created plant life. So that's the things that he did on day three. Okay. Okay, any questions or comments before we move on? Okay, it's pretty cut and dried here. All right, let's go ahead and read Genesis 1, 14 through 19. And who'd read that for us? Delbert?
Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw it was good, so the evening and morning were the fourth day.
Okay, thank you, Delbert. So, the sun and the moon are created. The sun and the moon were created to divide the day from the night, to be used for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. Note at the end of verse 16, he just states, just a short phrase, he made the stars also. And I've always found that to be amazing. It's kind of like, no big deal, sort of an afterthought, just to throw that in, hey, he made the stars also, you know, and moves on. And we stop and pause and think of the vastness of the universe. What that little phrase, you know, what that says, you know, he made the stars also. You know, there is billions and billions and trillions of stars and planets and suns and all kinds of stuff out there, moons. We've seen that, you know. It's vast and it goes on. I often wonder what's out there a million times further than we've been able to see. It's probably still going on. And it's been said many times, if all the stars, the planets, everything, if it could all be lit up and be seen at the same time, it'd be solid white all around us. Solid white out there. It is so massive what's been created. And yet, he made the stars also, you know, and move on, you know. In God's sight, it probably was no big deal as we consider his almighty power. To us, I think that is awesome, you know, and you just say that is, you know, throws that little phrase in. And we just see God's almighty power, you know, and he reveals it in nature. And we're going to talk about that a lot. So anyway, and then God said, verse 18, God saw that it was good. Verse 19, it says it was the fourth day. Day four. So what did God do on day four of creation? The sun, the moon, the planets, the stars, the asteroids, black holes, and whatever else is out there, he did all of that on day four. That's what he did. Now, has he created man yet? No. Okay. God saw that it was good. And when God says something's good, it is perfect. And again, that's a main thought to bear in the back of your mind. God, you know, it's going to be perfect at this time. You know, there's no death, there's no destruction, there's no nothing. It's perfect. Okay, no gap theory. Let's go ahead and read verses 20 and 20 through 23. 20 through 23, and who'd read that? Pastor?
That one. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that make light above the earth, and the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed him, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day.
Okay, thank you, Pastor. So, on day five, God created the marine life and the fowls of the air. That's what he created then. The term fowls, a definition of that is flying ones, is kind of a better definition. We think of fowls, you know, as, well, chickens and what have you. But it can, anything that flies, flying things. Fowls meaning flying ones. It could possibly include things like bats, flying insects, anything that flies. Okay, it could be included within that. And again, notice the phrase, after their kind or after his kind. God repeats that over and over and over. He wants us to get the message. Okay? And again, God saw that it was good. And God, in verse 22, God commands them to be fruitful and multiply. And so what did God create on day five? He created marine and fowl life, flying ones. Marine animals and flying animals. Okay, let's go ahead and read verses 24 and 25. Who'd read that for us? Somebody different. Pastor?
God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good.
Okay, thank you. Okay, notice at the beginning of that, the phrases us and our, you know, in verse 26. And God said, let us make man after our image, okay? Notice the us and our. That is plural. Okay? What do you suppose that's referring to?
Trinity.
The Trinity. The three in one God. Referring to the Trinity. Us and our. Make it in our image. Okay? Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped ahead. Skip some notes here. All right. Back up here. Okay. Here it says God created the beast of the earth. Okay. In other words, that is the land animals only. God created land animals. And in verse 24. And we've always, as kids, we used to ask the question all the time, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Okay? And we used to go round and around and around and around about that. We had so much fun of that, you know, but nobody knew. Okay? Folks, who can give us the answer?
The chicken.
Why?
He created the animals. An egg would not.
Very good. God did not create an egg, folks. He created the land animals. So anytime anybody asks you which came first, the chicken or the egg, the chicken came first. Okay? He didn't start with an egg. All right? I find that interesting. Okay. Let's go ahead and read verses 26 through... Okay. Any questions or comments before we move on to... We're moving into man now. Any questions or comments? Seems like we're moving kind of fast here, but okay. Let's go ahead and read verses. Who's going to read verses 26 through 31 for us? Nick.
Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And it was evening, and it was morning, the sixth day.
Okay, thank you, Mick. All right, there's a world of information in those verses. All right. Now, I guess we've already discussed the term. Notice the words us and our. Okay, we did that. Okay, what is it? And it's talking about created in God's image. So what does that mean, to be created in God's image? Okay. And again, God is a Trinity. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Man is a Trinity. We have a body, soul, and spirit. There's three parts to us. And again, we're talking about what does it mean to be created in God's image, okay? Man has an intellect, a moral nature, power to communicate with others. He has an emotional nature that transcends instinct. It goes beyond that. You know, a lot of the animals have got a certain amount of intelligence, stuff like that. But again, man is unique in the fact that we have an intellect. We have a moral nature. Animals don't have a moral nature, you know. And again, they're not able to communicate. There's just a lot of differences between man and animals. And God has made us much higher than he's made the animals. And then in verses 26 and through 28, God gives man dominion over all of God's creation. We have dominion over it. God created the plants and the animals and everything for our benefit and for our purpose. And a lot of times these, you know, these animal lovers or whatever, you know, they think it's terrible. We should be killing animals for meat. We should not be eating meat. We need to be creating meat out of vegetables and all this other stuff. You know, God provided these for the animals for food. That's God's intent. And a lot of times these animal activists and things like that, and, you know, they, God's given us dominion over that. And it's for our use, for our purpose. That's why he did all that, plants and animals. We got the tree huggers and, we, you know, we got all this other stuff. And anyway, that was there for us to have dominion over. Okay, in verse 27, it starts off in, verse 27, okay, I'm lost here. Oh, at the end of verse 27, it says, male and female created he them. That's in verse 27. It talks about female. Has God made Eve yet? Okay. So how can that be explained? Well, again, bear in mind, Moses is writing this book 2,500 years later. And so it's no issue for him to realize that God created woman, you know. And so it's not hard for him to say man and male and female, you know, because he's not writing the day that it all happened. He's writing from 2,500 years back. And of course, it was no big deal to realize that God also made woman as he did man. So that's an explanation for that. Yes. That's a good point. I did not see that. Okay. That's why I'm so happy to have you guys here to fill in the cracks, okay?
That explanation of where the woman came from is in the next chapter.
Yes. Yes.
Chapter 2 fills in the crevasses that are kind of
lost. Yeah. Okay. But I never thought about... Okay. All right, I'll pass. All right, class, you heard the question. Did Adam have a belly button?
My answer is if he had one, he didn't need it. It didn't come the way we all thought. Because he was a son of God, as explained in Luke, mm-hmm. the account of Jesus.
Okay. 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 So anyway, I'm just going to duck that question. I don't know. I don't know if he did or not. Probably not, but I don't know. Not going to be dogmatic on that one.
Jim, also the more serious.
Okay.
The animals were not created to be eaten in the garden because that, the first animal, the first death is after they came out when God had to have killed an animal to clothe them.
Mm-hmm.
But after the flood, you'll see in verse or chapter, well, after the flood, 6 or so, he says, nine, that's when he says, animals are available to be eaten at that point. That's the first time that you mm-hmm. see that. So our animal, our animal rights people, they may be right if we were living in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't there.
Okay.
But not anymore, because we do have authority from what's given in Scripture that we can eat as long as the blood's not in it. So.
Okay. And folks, he just taught the next 3 weeks of my lessons. That's I might as well just scratch it, you know. Okay. Bev?
And also, you know, now the big thing is that we need to insects will make us very ill. They produce something in our bodies, if we eat them, that will make us very ill. So another reason to try to depopulate us.
Yes, that's why they want us to eat them. Kill us.
Right, you will, yeah.
Okay.
Don't buy that story from Bill Gates that we need to be eating insects. No. No, and they'll disguise it. Make it look like it's just really good, but no. Don't fall for it.
If you cover them with chocolate, they'll taste good, huh?
Oh.
Okay. Wild honey.
The chocolate tastes good.
And I think there's some verse in Numbers where God says, do not eat the crawling things on the ground. Well,
Bev, are you speaking from experience? What you're saying this? Are you speaking from experience? Don't intend to, Okay. I've never eaten an insect knowingly. I mean, I'm sure I probably ate a bunch of stuff. You know, you go to some of these restaurants and you don't know what you're eating, but as knowingly, I have never eaten an insect. So that's a good point. I never, and I did not know that insects would make you sick.
Very ill, yes.
Okay, and she's a nurse, folks. Okay. Any other questions? John?
Are gnats insects?
No.
I've eaten gnats.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think I've ate a few too. Okay. Any other questions or comments? This is good. I need this input to help fill in, you know. Okay. Okay, verse 28. God blesses them in verse 28 and says, be fruitful, and the King James uses the word replenish. Now, Mick, you had a different word, and your word is more accurate. You know, it means to fill. The word replenish, a better translation of that, of the King James version there, a better one is to fill. What was your word, Mick?
Increase in number.
Increase in number, okay. In other words, yeah, to multiply. What'd somebody else say?
Multiply.
It's a different
word. It
has both.
Yeah. Okay. But replenish, see, our definition of the word replenish means you had something, it's been depleted, and now you need to fill it back up again. That is a big verse that they use for the gap theory. And all these things where the earth is destroyed between verses 1 and 2. And so you had something one time, now it's been destroyed. And they'll point to this verse and say, this right here is the reason we believe in the gap theory, or the recreation theory, or the day-age theory, and all these isms and spasms and all this stuff where Christian, or anyway, people are trying to blend the Bible and millions of years together. And they say, well, this big gap theory, that could have been billions of years. Well, yeah, it could have been if it would have happened, but it didn't happen that way. Amen. So, okay. Now, any questions or comments on what I just said? And again, I realize there's going to be some people in here that probably will not agree with what I'm saying. And so you have a chance to speak up. So, okay. Okay, they believe that, going back to the gap theory, this type, all these theories, you know, they believe that God had created the universe and then Satan destroyed it, okay? And then God had to come along and fix it later. He had to replenish what he had originally made. That's their thinking, okay? And again, they're talking about, because they're saying Satan destroyed all this stuff with this some cataclysmic event, but yet God, after each one of these days, God is saying it is good, okay? It is perfect. If Satan had been made, created, whatever, at that time, would with sin, all of all this destruction, Could God stand back and say it was good or it was perfect? No. No, he couldn't. Because things weren't perfect. Things were a mess. It was a disaster. Destroyed. Destruction. Death. Again, and somebody mentioned, you know, the back, well, when he's preaching my next 2-3 weeks lessons here, death has not occurred yet. And we're going to take a look. When did death begin? That's major, major topic. We're going to cover some time on that. So he already gave the answers, so I might as well just skip over all that. We'll save a lot of time. So he just taught it.
Sorry.
Yeah. You're not really. Anyway, no. Okay. Now God has to start over and replenish. The word replenish is not a good translation for what the real meaning is. More about that later. Okay, in verse 29 and 30. I can't see it. My eyes are getting to be so bad, folks. Okay, verses 29 and 30. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is going to be for meat, it says at the end. And again, every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air and to everything that creepeth on the earth. Okay. Anyway, but in verse 29, what is man and animals eating there?
Vegetables, plants.
No, stuff and plants. Okay. But are they eating meat? Like he said, no, they are not. Man was a vegetarian during that time. The animals were just as well. Everything was a vegetarian. There was nothing eating meat.
Were there weeds, like vine weed?
They're eating weeds or weed product or something like that. So I don't know what they were eating back there. It's, of course, now.
Vine weed before the fall, so thistles don't come till later.
Yeah. What was that? Thistles?
I said the thistles.
Oh, okay.
Stuff doesn't come till later.
Okay. All right, very good. Just want to make that clear. We're not, nobody, nothing is eating meat at this time. Okay?
I got a question.
Okay.
I don't know the answer.
I'm going to pass it on.
Were they
then.
Eating eggs?
Huh?
Were they eating eggs? Could they eat eggs? I don't think the Bible ever mentions an egg, to my knowledge. I just thought that was curious.
Yeah? Well. Okay, you guys answered John's question. All right. Okay. Animal. What?
Think on it for an answer for him. Everybody can just think on
it. Okay, everybody think on an answer. Give John his answer next week. All right. All right. Animals were herbivorous. That's a fancy word. And man was a vegetarian. Animals were eating herbs, and it says man is a vegetarian. Okay, can you think of any significance about this? Well, I guess I'll just answer. Anyway, there was no death before sin. I mean, we're coming to that in the future. More about this later. There's no animals or man eating animals, so man is not eating meat. There's no death at this time. Now, this changed after the flood. And turn to Genesis chapter 9, and we'll read verses 1 through 3. Royce has already alluded to this. He stole my thunder, which is fine. Okay, he'll read Genesis 9, 1 to 3 for us. Delbert?
So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be in every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, and on all that move on the earth, and all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs.
Okay. Thank you, Delbert. And again, his translation uses the word fill, which is correct. Replenish is not a good translation. Okay.
In that place, it would be no.
Yeah.
Because the people were wiped out. So
they okay. Can you say that louder?
They would have to replenish the earth after the flood.
Well, yeah. Okay. Yes. I never thought of that. Okay. Good enough. So at this time then, animals feared man and animals became meat. Now, I guess a question comes up, does that mean that man did not eat meat until after the flood? I don't know. I would assume so. Okay? So man's been a vegetarian all this time up until the flood. And after the flood, it's okay. Does that sound accurate? I state that in fear and trembling up here. Okay. All right. So, yes.
They were at least killing animals because if you look at Cain and Abel, one of them gave blood sacrifice, the other gave like plant sacrifice. So they were at least killing animals.
Yes.
Before the flood.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Using the skins to make clothing.
Okay, that's a new thought for me. Okay, yes.
Yeah, isn't it likely that because of sin, they could have been eating meat even though they weren't allowed to? It could have been a sinful act still, but God hadn't given it to them yet.
That's another good point. Yeah, man could have been rebellious, is what you're saying, and went ahead and acted against God's will like we so blatantly do today. Go against the will of God. Okay, never thought of that. Anybody else? Okay.
Just a thought. I mean, we have all different kinds of animals, and there are several meat-eating animals. Maybe they didn't eat meat for 1,400 years or whatever it was before the flood, but because they had to fill the earth. But fish in the sea, were they all eating plankton and not eating other fish? Were birds not eating insects, or were the animals that were carnivores not eating meat at that time?
Would somebody like to come up here and take this place? I'll come back here and sit down.
I have never really thought about that.
I haven't either. I've never been asked a question. And okay.
I would assume they started after that, but that would just be an assumption probably.
Okay. And now we have two pastors sitting in this room that should be up here. And would you two guys like to come up and answer these questions for these? Because these guys got all the answers. They've been to college and universities.
I was wondering if the flesh-eating dinosaurs were originally vegetarians.
They were.
They were. Yes.
Well, we're left with a silence here because all we have is the end of chapter 1.
Yeah.
And yes, the fall is going to come in chapter 3. We don't know the amount of time that takes place between the creation of Adam and Eve and their fall. And from chapter 3 until chapter 9, you have no indication of food consumption. I'll stick it in that regard.
Yeah.
What were they eating?
Yeah.
To me, we only go back, we must go back to at least the end of chapter one to know that they are at least vegetarians. Mm-hmm. And that has continued because God doesn't show us that it changed mm-hmm. after the fall. It does change after the flood.
Yes.
Because God enumerates to Noah and his family, you can eat meat now.
Mm-hmm.
There's no mention of that between chapter 3 and chapter 9.
Yeah.
So it is somewhat in silence. Did they eat meat after they've sacrificed? That possibility exists. To me, that would be breaking the commandment that was given to them in chapter 1, which has not been superseded by anything else
yeah.
until chapter 9. God doesn't note any judgment against those for meat eating if they were. So there's some silence there. And I think in light of that, we need to look at what is posted to us.
Right.
We do have this statement, you're going to be vegetarians.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Now, yes, the fish, okay, yeah, maybe they're all eating plankton.
Mm-hmm.
Is fish not considered meat?
Fish is meat.
But I mean, yeah. It seems like it's in a separate category. You have meat, fish, and poultry, you know, and...
But they're all meat.
The context of what's there is still the same. It's the yeah. muscle of the animal. So I would go back to what does it say?
Yeah.
What do we have clearly stated for us?
And I would say the same thing. In my case, you know, if it doesn't state, if the Bible doesn't state anything different, I will err toward the side of caution. And I mean, in my own mind, I would say no. But again, yes, sir, I got a hand up.
I think my wife answered my question. Verses 29 and 30. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so.
I think you hit the nail right on the head. Thank you.
Until it mentions anything else,
yeah.
That's the authority.
Yeah, God says it right there pretty plain. And so anything else, if somebody was eating meat, it seems to me to be, as we look at Scripture, that would be in disobedience to the Word of God. And folks, my enemy tells me we are 3 minutes overdue. And I am just getting started. How can we fix this thing, Pastor? I'd like to have about 2 hours. We're just getting started. I'm just getting fired up good. Okay, it's time to, okay. Any closing comments? Okay, I tell you what, we're just going to close in prayer because I'm cutting into his time. Don't want to do that. Okay, thank you guys for your input. And again, we're all in this thing together. We're all learning together. I am learning. It's not, as a teacher, it certainly doesn't mean I have the answers. And I think you're well aware of that. So, okay, let's close in prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for this word, for your word. And Lord, help us to rightly divide your word. And it's good to let Scripture interpret Scripture. And I think Mick said right there at the end is true. And Lord, help us, if we can't understand, we don't know it, help us to err toward the side of caution and not be putting something in that's not there. That would be adding to the Word of God. And help us, Lord, not to do that. And a lot of times that's a human tendency to try to make things fit what we believe, not necessarily what God says. So help us, Lord, to do that. I pray, Father, that you'll be with Pastor this morning. Lord, work through him to us. And Lord, let the Holy Spirit be our teacher. Lord, help us to learn and grow in our spiritual walk. And Lord, again, just have a strong desire to have a closer walk with you every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.